heard rain, right? We were getting like some pretty hard rain. And so thank the Lord, like the radar and everything was showing that that rain wasn't going to last and we can be out here today. We thank the Lord that we were able to be inside last week, even though it did rain. But it's great to all be gathering here as we are. If you have a Bible, and I hope you do, would you grab that now and open to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We are almost at the end in this series in Ephesians. God willing, this week and next week will be done. So one more message after today from the book of Ephesians. This tremendous letter to the church, the church in Ephesus, and a letter that was circulated around Asia Minor 2,000 years ago. It's so applicable to our lives today, as God's word always is. So we thank the Lord for that. Ephesians chapter 6, 10 to 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. And to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. And this is the word of the Lord, and we say together, thanks be to God. Let us pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you even as we remembering in that children's song, we read our Bibles to pray every day to grow. We thank you, given your timeless word, holy and eternal. And we ask, God, that you'll speak to our hearts through your word today. Father, I pray that we would have an open hearts today. Help us to hear from you. So, Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and redeemer. And all God's children said, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, I hope you have a handout. Did you get a handout? Can you wave that if you got that? Okay. Excellent. All right. Super. I'm realizing, you know, I want to get back into that handout thing. Because I don't know about you, but when I write things down, I'm more likely to remember them. And I want you to be able to do that. So praise God. Now, I want to begin this week just remembering what happened in Lebanon. And how many of you saw the news articles, the broadcast this week that showed that explosion? Raise your hand. Yeah, you saw that explosion? Wasn't that incredible? It really looked like it was a nuclear bomb, didn't it? There was a mushroom cloud that went over. Now, we know it wasn't a nuclear bomb, but it was ammonium nitrate. It was an incredibly explosive substance that had been sitting in that port area I was speaking with Imad Al-Hakim this week, and I know he's been very discouraged about that. I imagine his family is too. He has very close friends there still in Lebanon. Imad is one of the refugees we sponsored. Anyways, it incredible devastation. I think we would all agree that a nuclear bomb certainly is the supreme weapon of warfare today, isn't it? A nuclear bomb is the supreme weapon of warfare today. You know, when it comes to the armor of God, our supreme weapon of warfare is prayer. Loved ones, our supreme weapon of warfare is prayer. So that's the first blank there on your handout. This is what we need to remember. Prayer is a weapon. It's the seventh, right? If we look at the armor of God, right, we consider the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of fitted for the gospel of peace, right, with the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. All right, so after this list of six, I think I'm missing one, aren't I? We come to the shield of faith. We come to prayer, the seventh, right? The seventh weapon. We could put it that way. And really, if you know much about the Israelite culture and our Bibles, you know that seven's an important number. Seven's the number of completeness, right? Seven is very significant. So there is something very, very significant about prayer. And as Paul talks about here, as the scriptures tell us, you know, what Paul does here is he doesn't just give a one line about prayer. He actually gives several sentences, several verses here are dedicated to prayer. Now, last week, what I did is we did a more of a review on prayer, right? We looked at Jesus in prayer. And so we looked at the fact that prayer is conversation with God. We talked about some definitions. All right, so that's number one, a recap from last week. And then especially focused in on the fact that Jesus is our teacher. All right, he's the one who taught us about prayer in Matthew 6 and other places. We remember that Jesus is our example when it comes to prayer. And Jesus prayed with the disciples. He also prayed alone. He went into solitary and quiet places to be with the Father. We know he's our example. He's also our intercessor. Jesus is praying for us. We read in Romans 8:34 and also in the book of Hebrews where that is so encouraging. He's our teacher. He's our example. And the Lord Jesus is our intercessor. Today, I want us to, as I said last week, I want to focus here on Ephesians 6 and especially 18 to begin here. And we're looking at what does the Apostle Paul say about prayer now? And it's pretty neat. Well, we let the scriptures do the heavy lifting when it comes to sermon writing and our sermon points. And what we see in verse 18 is the Apostle Paul uses the word all four times. So I go, thank you, Lord. You've given me the 4 points of the message today. Let's look at verse 18 again, and I'll emphasize that word all. He says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. And to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So we're given 4 prayer directives, 4 all statements, and these are the 4 points I want to make today. So let's just dive right in. Let's just dive right in with the first all statement. We are to be praying at all times in the Spirit. At all times in the Spirit. So, this is pretty significant. You know, I was thinking about this week. It's like, well, you know, what is something we do all the time? What's something we do all the time is we breathe, isn't it? Like, maybe the only thing we do absolutely all the time. So, think about prayer like breathing. Like we need to breathe in order to live. We need to pray in order to live. This is to be part of our just constant life. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, the Apostle Paul's used this command, and the Holy Spirit has spoken through Paul before. There we read 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without what? Ceasing. Pray without ceasing. This is the will of God for you. Peter O'Brien, New Testament scholar, writes, we need to pray continually, because our struggle against the powers of darkness never end. We need to pray continually because the battle goes on continually. You know, we've been living at peacetime in Canada, right, for a long, long time. Technically, I don't know if there's been a civil war in Canada since, the 1800s. So we get used to peacetime. You know, we had some people go overseas and fight in battles on other lands, but we've been in peacetime for a long time. But when it comes to our spiritual lives, when it comes to our faith, the battle never ends. The battle never ends. Every day we are wrestling against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So because the battle goes on, our directive to pray goes on. And you might think, well, Pastor, I can't pray 24/7. How do I do that? How do I pray without ceasing? Well, the idea behind this is a posture of our hearts. Okay? It's the posture of our hearts. That praying is like breathing. Praying is like second nature. Right? So that it's continuous in that sense. It's not like we have this running dialogue all through the day with Christ. And although, ideally, yeah, sure, maybe we could reach that point, but probably not on this earth because we've got a lot of other things we need to do through the day. But the idea is a posture of our heart. This praying without ceasing, that being quick to pray, being quick to get to our knees, being quick to intercede for someone. This is, I believe, what God is calling us to do in Christ. And so to pray at all times and in the Spirit. All times and in the Spirit. Now, what does that mean? What does praying in the Spirit mean? Well, remember, Paul has talked to the Ephesians about the Holy Spirit already. In chapter 1, we're taught that the Holy Spirit is the one who seals us. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit. We're taught in chapter 5, verse 22, that we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Here, the idea behind this is praying in the Spirit, is praying with the Spirit of God directing you, the Spirit of God guiding you, the Spirit of God infusing your prayers. I'm going to read from Romans 8, 26 and 27. Praying in the Spirit. Romans 8, 26 and 27 says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us, to direct us in our prayers, to infuse our prayer life. I'll never forget a chapel service in Bible college, and the speaker of the chapel was talking about prayer that day, and he said something I'll never forget. He said, we pray to the Father, through the Son, in the Spirit. To the Father, through the Son, in the Spirit. There's an amen. So, and what does in the Spirit mean? In the Spirit means that God is leading us. He's directing us. He's helping us to pray for. We can pray according to human wisdom. But wouldn't you rather pray according to God's wisdom? Wouldn't you rather pray according to His leading and directing? Because He knows what we need to be praying for. Right? Human intuition and human ideas can only go so far. We need God to lead us. So when we pray, pray in the Spirit. Pray, Lord, lead me in prayer. Direct me. Show me what to pray for. Show me who to pray for. Show me how to pray. Teach me how to pray. Pray at all times in the Spirit. Secondly, we're to pray with all prayer and supplication. Pray with all prayer and supplication there. You see that in the next part of verse 18? Now, there's two Greek words that the Apostle Paul is using here. One's translated prayer, the other translated supplication, or perhaps in your translation, petition, prayer and petition, or prayer and supplication. Daryl Bach points out that what this is suggesting is that all kinds of prayer should be lifted up to God. All kinds of prayer should be lifted up to God. And I like what Matthew Henry wrote 300 years ago. He says, all prayer, this means public prayer and private prayer. It means secret prayer. It means social prayer. It means solitary prayer or solemn prayer. It means sudden prayer. I'll add, all prayer includes confession of sin. This includes petition for mercy. This includes thanksgiving. All prayer and supplication. Praying with your spouse. Praying with your children. Praying in a prayer group. Praying with the church. You know, the list goes on. All prayer. We pray for missionaries. We pray for the persecuted church. All petitions. You know, I heard someone say, when it comes to petitions, he says, this is such a small request. I don't know, should I bring this prayer request to God? It's so small. And someone else piped up and said, you know, compared to the greatness of God, everything we bring to Him is small. Everything. You can't bring something too small to God, because He's the maker of the universe, okay? So it doesn't matter. If you think it's big or small, remember the greatness of God. Nothing is too small for Him. Nothing's too big for Him. So we have pray at all times in the Spirit. Pray with all prayer and supplication. Thirdly, pray with all perseverance and alertness. Pray with all perseverance and alertness. Now, doesn't this just make you think of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? He's in the Garden of Gethsemane with His disciples, and He's praying. He's hours away from His crucifixion. And what does He say to Peter, James, and John? He says, come a little further with me, guys. Come a little further and pray. But what happened? What happened to those brothers? What happened to those disciples? They kept falling asleep, didn't they? They kept falling asleep. I'm sure I would. And you probably would too. But what did Jesus say? And we could read it in Mark 14, verse 38. What Jesus says to them in Mark 14, 38 is a lot like what we see here. Certainly the Holy Spirit was giving this word to the Apostle Paul as a word that was given to Jesus. So what did Jesus say to those disciples? Watch and pray. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch and pray. Watch and pray, dear church. Watch and pray. Pray with all perseverance and alertness. You know, our Lord and the Apostle Paul, they knew we would be prone to lose heart. They know that we would be tempted to give up when it comes to praying with perseverance. And so on a couple of occasions, Jesus spoke about this. Luke 18 is one of them. Luke 18, 1 to 5 says this, and He told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Did you catch that? He told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Why? Because He knows we will lose heart. He knows we are prone to falling away. He knows we're prone to not persevering in prayer. So what did Jesus say? What's the parable? He said, verse 2, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to Him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while He refused. But afterward He said to Himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice
so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. Keep praying. Don't lose heart. It's another example we see in Luke 11, just a few chapters before that. Jesus again teaching about prayer, the great teacher teaching about prayer. And what does he say? Luke 11, 1-9. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of the disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." What a heart. That the heart of the disciples, "Lord, teach me to pray." These are people that walked with Jesus. They saw him praying. What did they ask him to teach? Teach us to pray. Not teach us to fish. Teach us to pray. Don't teach us a new strategy. Don't teach us a new church growth strategy, Lord. Teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. And he said to them, "When you pray, say this, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day your daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation." Verse 5, and he said to them, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut. My children are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.'" Look at verse 8. "I tell you though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him what he needs. And I tell you," verse 9, "ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened." A-S-K, ask, seek, knock. What does it spell? Ask. "Pray with all perseverance and alertness." Pray with all perseverance and alertness. Don't just pray when problems arise. How many Christians just pray when the trouble comes? I'll just, you know what? Life's going good now. I don't need the Lord. But when the trouble comes, then they start praying. May that never be the case for us, dear church. May that never be the case. May we be devoted to prayer. May we be faithful to bring everything before the Lord, to pray with alertness, to watch and pray, watch and pray. Fourthly, for all the saints. You notice that? "Pray at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints." All the saints. Now, the focus in other passages in Scripture is to pray for unbelievers and pray for our government, and we're going to do that today. If you could join me, I'd love for you to join me on a little prayer drive. We're going to pray for our frontline workers, our police forces. Imagine how discouraged our Peterborough police must be this week after what they've been through, what some of our police have been through this week, and what police in general have faced in the last few months. We need to pray for them. Want to encourage you to join me, pray for them. We need to pray for our leaders, those in authority. 1 Timothy, we're instructed to do that. But here, what's the apostle telling us? Who's the apostle telling us to pray for? Who's the object of our prayer here? The saints. The saints, that's you and me. This is a call to prayer, praying for believers. To pray for believers. Did you know, believer, that you're a saint? A saint isn't someone the Catholic Church says they've done 3 miracles on. The saint is a believer in Jesus like you, Helen Trotter. Praise God. And Mary. Right? And you. You're a saint, John man, in Jesus. Praise God. Now pray for the saints. Pray for the saints. For all the saints. For all of them. For all believers. For all Christians. Why? Why is he saying pray for all the Christians here? It's because the Christians are on the battlefront. The Christians are engaged in the war. Christians are engaged in this spiritual battle that the apostle's been teaching about for these last 10 verses. So that's why he's saying pray for the saints. Pray for the warriors. Pray for each other. Boy, did we ever have a sweet time of prayer on Wednesday night. And I got to tell you, on Friday night, I was downtown at the Youth for Christ showing of The Chosen that for that night. And I was with a couple of young people. And I know there's been some of you have been praying for that outreach event. Been praying for that. You've been praying for the saints. You've been praying for unbelievers too. But I got to tell you, I was so encouraged. There were answers to prayer that night. One of the young people that was near me, I know is struggling in his faith. I know he's struggling in his faith. He's told me that. And the movie and the speaker that night, and God just used that in his life in a powerful way. All I could say is this is an answer to prayer. This is an answer to prayer. Praise God. How many answers to prayer this week have you seen? Come on now. We probably need to write them down. That'd be good. Because we're so prone to forget, aren't we? We forget them. Forget how God... What an answer to prayer to see Val Mann leading worship again today. Thank the Lord, Val. What a journey you've been on this year in your health. Thank the Lord. Praise God. Pray for the saints. Pray for St. Val. Thank the Lord for the answers to prayer for St. Val. Oh, God is good. God is so good. Saints, you're on the battlefront. Oh, that's okay. It's just an empty box there. What is the greatest thing you can do for another believer? The greatest thing you can do for another believer is pray for them. And the greatest thing another believer can do for you is to pray for you. The greatest thing you can do for another believer is to pray for them. May God find us praying for them. You know, when we pray for others, it reveals an unselfish heart. It reveals that we're not so focused on ourselves. Selfishness and self-centeredness, it's destructive, it's isolating. When we care for others, when we pray for others, we overcome that self-centeredness. We overcome that isolating tendency. Pray for all the saints. Pray for all the saints. Amen and amen. Praise God. Now let's look at these last couple of verses here in this section. And what does Paul also say, giving an illustration of the command? He says, pray also for me that I might be really comfortable in this prison cell. Pray that my wounds might be healed. Pray that I'll get better food from Rome. Wait a second. That's not what he prayed at all. Listen to how he really prayed, what he really said. He said, pray also for me that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. You notice that? Wow. He's not praying for his comfort. He's not praying for his sore ankles because of the shackles that he's wearing. He's not praying for healing. He's not even praying that he'll be released. His concern is for what? The bold, faithful proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ. The chains that he's in were incidental. He was on a mission. And he's still on a mission. His focus was on the call of God to be an ambassador. Look at that verse 20. For which I am an ambassador in chains. Missionary Paul needed support. He needed the support of the saints because he was a leader. Strike the shepherd, and what happens to the sheep? The sheep will scatter. Strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. Paul knew he needed the support of the church. I got to tell you, I'm so grateful as a pastor here to be supported by you, to be prayed for by you. I got a text this morning. What a perfect illustration. It was a prayer for me. At 8:55 or something this morning. And I've received messages from you and encouragements from you. You're praying for me and you're praying for this church and you're praying for those in leadership here. And I got to tell you, that means so much. We need to pray for every faithful minister of the gospel. Because those that are faithful ministers of the gospel in our community and around the world, like Andre, thank you, Brent, for praying for Andre this morning. No, the devil doesn't want us to be faithful. Just like he doesn't want you to be faithful. We need your prayers. I need your prayers. Pray for the missionaries to be given boldness to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. To proclaim that Jesus Christ, he's the way. He's the truth. And he's the life. And that no one comes to the Father except through him. Amen? Praise God. I had an opportunity to share that this week with someone. And I know I was talking to Brother Blair before the service started. They were out on the street yesterday downtown sharing that good news of Jesus Christ. We need to pray for them. We need to pray for everyone, every minister of the gospel. Pray that we would all be faithful ministers of the gospel, proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, Christ and him crucified, with boldness, with grace, and with truth. Really encouraging thing to see is that not long after Paul wrote Ephesians, from prison, he wrote Philippians. If you flip over a page in the Bible, in your Bible, notice what he writes to a different church, different area, but not too long after. Philippians 1, 12 to 14. I want you to know, brothers, what's happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. What has happened to me being put in prison, chained to a Roman soldier, likely. I want you to know what has happened has really served to advance the gospel so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. That incredible? He asked the Ephesian church, pray that I might be bold to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. And then he can say in the letter to the Ephesians, or Philippians rather, not long after, that's exactly what's happened. That is exact. The prayer has been answered. Isn't awesome? Isn't God good? Paul's, praise the Lord. Notice Paul's concern wasn't for himself. Paul's concern was for the good news of Jesus to go forth. He wanted the Lord to be glorified. He wanted the other believers to be encouraged. Pray at all times in the Spirit. Pray always. Pray consistently. May we have a posture of prayer in our hearts. Quick to go to our knees, quick to pray. You know, you're on the phone with someone, you're texting with someone, you hear a need, say, let's pray about that right now. This is the posture of prayer that God wants us to have all times, spirit directed. Secondly, with all prayer and supplication. Praying all the time. Praying for anything. There's nothing too big, there's nothing too small. We're always praying, no matter what. Thirdly, with all perseverance and alertness, as Jesus said to the disciples, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Some of you have been praying for a relative, maybe a wayward child. You've been praying for years and years. And I got to tell you, I read stories and I hear testimonies, and I read them again this week of answers to prayer for people that persevered in praying. 30 years. One pastor was praying for his brother, And that brother came to faith after 30 years of praying. Pray with perseverance. Pray with alertness. Pray for all the saints. Number four, pray for all the saints. Pray for each other. Pray for all the believers, everyone who's on the battlefront engaged in the spiritual warfare. And pray as Jesus taught us to pray that the Lord would send workers to the harvest field. Paul was one of those 2,000 years ago. Jesus said, pray, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest field today, to send out workers to the front lines, to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, the good news that Jesus saves. Let us pray. So merciful God, we want to thank you so much for your holy word. Thank you for all this armor that we were called to put on. We thank you that we're to put on all this armor with prayer. That as saints on the battlefront, when the enemy comes, we drop to our knees. When the battle rages, we bow our hearts. We put on the belt of truth with prayer. We put on the breastplate of righteousness with prayer. We have our shoes shod for the peace, with the gospel of peace, readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. We do that with prayer. We put on the shield of faith with prayer, the helmet of salvation with prayer. We lift up the sword of the Spirit with prayer. Praying at all times. Find us, Lord, more than ever before, a praying church. It's a mystery, Lord, to understand prayer. We thank you, Lord. What a gift that we can approach your throne of grace with confidence. Thank you for our mediator, Jesus. Find us faithful, Lord. For your glory. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.